Welcome to AZ TechCast, sponsored by the Arizona Technology Council, with your hosts, Steve Zylstra and Eric Miller. AZ TechCast is dedicated to covering innovation and technology in Arizona and beyond. AZ TechCast invites leading experts to have real conversations about what is happening in the tech sector across the state of Arizona. From innovative startups to regional news, companies, and emerging technologies, AZ TechCast covers the critical issues and economic trends propelling the state's growing tech ecosystem.
In this episode of AZ TechCast, we're joined, as always, by Arizona Technology Council President and CEO Steve Zylstra. Our guests today are Tom Tenney from Legacy Wealth Management and Sheila Clefcorn from CEKEO Marketing. Tonight, together, we're going to explore the Arizona Technology Council's 401k Multiple Employer Plan, that's MEP, and we'll discuss the advantages of MEPs for employers, employees, current trends in the investment space, and the difference between Roth IRAs and traditional 401k plans, among other topics. The conversation will also highlight how advancements in financial technology are transforming retirement investing, making it easier for companies and employees to manage their savings. Listen along to learn how council members have benefited from these programs and stay updated on the latest in retirement savings innovations. And I'm Eric Miller, founder and co-owner of PADT, and I'd like to welcome you to AZ TechCast, sponsored by PADT. AZ TechCast is dedicated to covering innovation and technology in Arizona and beyond. AZ TechCast invites tech and business experts to have a real conversation about what's happening across the state of Arizona. AZ TechCast discusses the critical issues, topics, and trends propelling the state's growing tech ecosystem. So please join me in giving a warm welcome to today's featured guests, Tom Tenney, Senior Institutional Consultant and Senior Vice President, Legacy Wealth Management, and Sheila Clefcorn from CEO and President and Fractional CMO for KEO Marketing. So before we get started, Steve, can you tell us, our listeners, a little bit about the Arizona Tech Council?
Yes, thank you, and really appreciate you being our host and a sponsor. Thank you. I'm Steve Zylstra, President and CEO of the Arizona Tech Council. We are a statewide science and technology-based trade association representing tech companies across Arizona. The preponderance of our members are in Phoenix and Tucson, but we have members across the state. We do public policy advocacy at the state and federal level on behalf of our members. We do around 100 events a year. We have lots of publications, a magazine, a newsletter, couple podcasts, and for our smaller members, those typically with less than 100 employees, we negotiate lower cost products and services. We run an association health plan with Blue Cross Blue Shield, and today we're going to talk about our 401k multiple employer plan. And with that, I'll throw it back to you, Eric.
Yeah, great. Well, this is timely. So last night I was at Venture Cafe Phoenix, and I was talking to a couple of startups, and they were commiserating about how difficult it is to have good benefits. And I said, I'm sending you an email in the morning, and I already have. So hopefully we'll hear from them. This is exactly what they're looking for. So we'll learn why I think that's such a good idea. I'll get started by asking each of the two speakers to briefly introduce themselves and the role in their organization plays in our Arizona technology ecosystem. So Tom, why don't you go ahead and get started?
Great. Thanks, Eric. My name's Tom Tenney. As Eric mentioned at the intro, I'm a senior institutional consultant with Legacy Wealth Management. And we're a financial advisory and investment consulting firm. And my team specializes in working with business owners and groups like the Arizona Tech Council to help them plan and manage plans for their employees and retirement plans. We work with a lot of 401ks, both individually with companies and also with where we're talking about today, where they're pooled types of plans. And we also work with all types of business owners. Whenever there's an investment committee involved, this typically we'll get in helping manage foundations, endowments, those type of things as well.
Great. Well, and I want to also thank Sheila for joining us on the road. She's at a conference and at a hotel, and she's taking time away to join us. And we're gonna hope the technology gods are with us and that everything works okay here in Microsoft Teams. But Sheila, why don't you tell us about yourself and your company?
Great. Thank you, Eric. Thanks for inviting me to be a part of this. I'm CEO and founder of KEO Marketing. We just turned 24 years old last week, which we're pretty excited about. We are a boutique, full-service, business-to-business marketing agency that helps companies scale through effective marketing that fills sales pipelines. We have an innovative model where we provide fractional CMO leadership services as well as agency outsourced team services to help tech companies scale faster. We have had a long history of helping Arizona Technology Council companies grow and scale, into acquisitions, IPOs, other kinds of things. And it's really been our pleasure to be a part of the Tech Council for so long. And today I'm really excited because we are a member of the MEP program with the Tech Council, and it's helped us scale as a small business since providing insurance is such a big expense. So today I'm just excited to be a Tech Council member and to have taken advantage of this really incredible program.
I'd like to add, if I can, Eric, that Eric actually served as our chairman of the board for 4 years, is now our chairman emeritus, and Sheila Clefcorn also serves on the board of directors and is on our investment committee. So in tune with everything that's going on at the Tech Council.
Yeah, and I'll add that I did not use any MEP for our company, and it's a lot of work when you do it on your own. So we'll talk about that. you want to go ahead and kick off the question, Steve?
Yeah, I'd love to. So we've all sort of mentioned the MEP, the Multiple Employer Plan. How does an MEP differ from a more traditional 401k? Tom, can you give us the background and details on that?
Sure. I think probably most people have never heard the term MEP, and you don't really need to know that term, because for the user, for the business owner, the person that's making the decision to add this or whether to add this benefit to their company, it's really the same thing as a 401k from their standpoint. They're not going to notice any difference. What the differences are in the background is a multiple employer plan is it's a pooled plan, where there are, in this case, you've got to be a member of the Arizona Tech Council to be able to participate in this plan and to benefit from it. And by doing so, you're able to share fiduciary responsibilities, I think is the biggest benefit that people receive. But we're able to create economies of scale by all the members that are part of the plan, and pool those resources together, and everyone's kind of able to benefit from that, and see those pass those savings on to their participants and their employees. But it's a 401k just like you would set up on your own. The difference is the Arizona Tech Council acts as the fiduciary for the plan and takes over a lot of those responsibilities. And then there are also other fiduciaries involved that we can get into and talk about a little bit more as we get into the details of it. But you still have the flexibility to design the plan how you want it to be for your best fit for your company. So if you're a smaller company and you're just kind of starting out and you can't really do much of a match or profit sharing, you don't have to do that. If you're a larger company and those are kind of required things that you want to include to attract and retain employees, you can always add those. The only thing that is really common across the board that everyone has the same is the investments. And we have an investment committee that looks over those and monitor those, and we have a process for managing those. But those are the common things across all plans. The design of it is unique to every participating.
So I'm going to ask Tom in a moment, what are some of the advantages of an MEP over a conventional plan? But first, I want to emphasize what he said about fiduciary responsibility. It is a big deal when a company takes on the fiduciary responsibility, and to a very large extent, the Tech Council takes that fiduciary responsibility away and on. And in addition to that, you know, a company that has 2 or 7 or 12 or 15 employees can have a 401k for their employees through this kind of a program. And as you referred to earlier, this the Venture Cafe organizations, you know, attracting talent is the number one issue every company in the Tech Council faces today. Mm-hmm. And when you could provide them a 401k and good health benefits and so on, it's a big deal. In addition to that, we take away a lot of the paperwork that a company that has its own 401k. And what's really important is they don't have to do an audit. If you're running your own 401k, you have to spend $10,000-$15,000 every year on an audit of the plan. The Tech Council takes that on. Everybody in the plan pays a little bit of it. And so those are some of the benefits I see. Tom, anything further that we want to bring to the attention of our audience that this kind of a program provides, you know, benefits?
Yeah, I think, you know, Eric mentioned it earlier, when you're looking at a 401k, there's a lot of work involved with it. Yeah. And it can be overwhelming at times. And I think there is a lot of work, but I also, we see a lot with, especially with smaller companies where there's, you know, 10, 15, 20, you know, under 50 employees, they don't really know what needs to go on in the background and to really protect themselves from a fiduciary standpoint. And a lot of times companies will get a 401k set up and then they'll kind of forget about it. They'll never look at the investments again. They'll, you know, it's just kind of on autopilot. And next thing you know, you know, it's been a few years, the investments are underperforming. You might have a payroll issue that pops up, and then all these things come to light. And the nice thing about it is with the Tech Council, you've got a partner that you know is looking at things. We have investment committees each quarter. There's things going on in the background that you don't really need to know about. And then you also have my team as consultants that, hey, if there's an issue that comes up, we're a phone call away. That's what we always tell people. You know, if there's ever something come up, we're the first phone call. It's not going to the record keeper. It's not going to the Tech Council. If it's a 401k related, and then we figure things out.
I do remember sitting in a meeting. This is years and years ago, but I didn't know the Tech Council existed. In front of a pile of brochures and paper going, I don't have time for this. I shouldn't have to learn all this. And that would have been much easier with this. So I can tell you from experience from the other side. Shelly, do you have any benefits that you have had from the MEP program?
Well, I think all of the benefits that you've just talked about were reasons that I chose the multiple employer plan from the Tech Council for our company. You know, I went to a seminar once and they talked about what can happen to you as the owner of a business as the fiduciary. And I got really scared. And then, you know, how things pop up when you give them focus. Just not a month later, I went to a dinner that Tom was at and he talked about this program. And I thought, oh my God, I can't believe that there's something out there that would save me from that risk for my company and that could help me offer this benefit. Because I think for, you know, the first 10 years of having my company, I just really didn't think that I could offer a 401k to my people. And, you know, today getting good talent, you need to be able to offer benefits that are compelling. And we just simply couldn't, as a smaller company, compete with some of the larger both client and competitor companies. And so it was just the most magical thing to have this come up with the Tech Council and to have it be so organized to reduce my risk, to take the paperwork off of my plate for the most part, because we don't have an HR department, you know. We have an outsourced PEO, and while they offered a 401k, this 401k performs much, much better at a lower cost. And so for a lot of companies, if you're thinking, if you have a PEO, for example, PEOs are great, but our membership with the Tech Council enabled me to offer 401k to our members at a lower cost. They got more direct attention. Tom, you know, some of my employees call you regularly about changes in their plans and their, you know, I had a couple of people retire and need to go through that process. And so all of it has just been really easy. There aren't many things in business that are the sort of cover all the bases and make it easy like this does. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Thanks. Good. Let's shift gears just a little bit here and talk about financial trends in the investment space. I didn't check the markets this morning. Whenever I talk to a financial person, I'm always angry at the markets down because it's their fault. But what are the, besides the volatility in the market and interest rates and all the stuff that the news covers, what are the trends out there in the space right now, especially when it comes to retirement?
Steve, did you want to talk about this or you want me to talk about it? You look like you're about to say something.
No, go ahead.
I figured that it was towards me as the financial guy here. But I think the biggest trend and it's the biggest concern, the biggest thing on people's mind right now is inflation. We've just gone through this period of high inflation and it's finally coming back down. But it's waking people up a little bit. I think you probably saw some people that had retired earlier, you know, in the past few years, inflation went up. Maybe they had to go out and get a second job because of that. It's harder to make ends meet. And then certainly for people that are working and seeing that it's, hey, we need to focus more on planning for, you know, our retirement in the future. So it has awakened a little bit of, and I think in a good way from seeing retirement and working with retirement plans and participants that, you know, people are looking at their budgets and looking at and trying to make sure that they have this piece planning for, you know, to, you know, down the road, which you always, I don't think people always really thought about as much, but just going through that, you know, this recent period has kind of that up a little bit. And then the markets are always the markets, you know, they're whatever's going on, they're going up, they're going down. That's just the way it kind of is. But the long-term trend is still being positive.
By the way, Eric, it was the Dow was up over 200 points, I think, yesterday. The trend has been pretty darn good here.
Yes, yeah, so we like here, Tom here, today, right?
Tom today.
That actually up something that I've dealt with my employees that I just thought of that's not we haven't talked about before is a lot of my employees don't want to participate in the plan because they don't know how to decide where to put their money. They're afraid they're going to make the wrong choice. So I don't know, Tom, what you think about that, or Sheila, what you've done with your employees, or Steve, your employees are part of this plan too. You know, how do you kind of get over that?
Well, one of the most beautiful things is that Tom does such a good education about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes into big detail about what target date investing means, which is what most employees choose to do. And so not only can you offer a 401k plan to your employees, but you get this really powerful education that also takes that off of my plate. So Tom's just really good about talking about it and helping them through it, both one-on-one and as a group. And so I don't know of any other group that we would work with that would give this level of attention and education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll just add to that. So Tom and his partner, Michael DeGrazi, come into the Tech Council and the SciTech Institute, which is our other organization, once a year to do a refresher. And of course, sometimes we add talent or talent changes over time. So it's an education for them. And then, as Sheila suggested, if there are individual employees who want to really get into their own portfolio and get Tom and Mike's advice, they do that as well. And so that leads me to a question for Tom. Tom, can you talk a little bit about the kinds of options there are available for investing in the plan? You know, we've sort of talked about the stock market, but there's other kinds of investments in the plan as well. Can you sort of speak to the portfolio of those kinds of investments?
Certainly. I think, Eric, you made a comment earlier about your employees, and you know, one of the things, and we see it across the board where people, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many investment options, they don't know what to pick, right? And then they mm-hmm. just don't pick anything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a fine line to have a good menu of choice that people can build things and do things on their own and not to overwhelm people. And that's what we've tried to do, or that's what we think we've achieved with the investment options in the Tech Council plan. We've got where there's actively managed funds, so where there's a portfolio manager or portfolio team in those mutual funds that are trying to do better than the market in general. And then there's also index funds in there. So they're low cost and just kind of tracking the investments that there's the indexes that they're supposed to be tracking. And we have both of those flavors of options in the plan. And we also have options where people can, the ones that want to build their own portfolios and pick large cap stocks and international stocks and bonds and those type of investments and build it on their own, or whether they work with their own personal advisor, those options are there. And the majority of people don't want to do that, though, is what we've found out with working with 401k plans for so long. They don't even want to know how to spell mutual fund, and that's fine. And those kind of set it and forget it options are there. The target date funds are the most utilized and in this plan and industry-wide. And what a target date fund is, just so you understand what we're talking about, it targets the day you're supposed to retire, so when you turn 65. And for somebody who's very young, that is going to be invested majorly in stocks. So it's more aggressive and they can take the swings of the market and get a higher return over that period. And as you get closer to your retirement age and you're ready to retire and you don't want to see big swings in your portfolio, it adds more bonds or more conservative investments in there, and it does it on its own. So we have all those in there. And like Sheila and Steve said, part of my team's responsibilities is really twofold. We lead the investment committee, which meets quarterly, and we talk about, we've got an investment policy statement. We talk about the investments. We talk about the markets. We make sure everything's performing well, or we keep track of those investments. And if we need to make a change, we'll discuss that and make a change in those investments. That's going on in the background. The other side of it, and I think it's just as important, is the education that goes along with it to mm-hmm. participants. Because what employers really need to remember when they're, you know, considering having a 401k or retirement plan, this is, you know, it's money that is for the participants, for your employees. It's they're the ones that are going to benefit from this. And part of it is having good investments in there, but the main thing is making sure they use it and they understand that benefit and they're able to save and get to retirement. Now, to give a little history, the 401k is a great tool we have for retirement. We've moved from, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, every company had a pension, and now just about every company has a 401k. And what's happened is the responsibility of saving for your retirement is now on the individual. It's a 401k is an individual plan, but we didn't add a investment or course in high school requirement. So not a lot of people are comfortable with that. And so my team, we go in and we do the education with all of the companies, the adopting companies. And it's really up to the individual company to decide how that fits best. Like with the Tech Council and SciTech, we do annual meetings and we do a presentation and answer questions and just give them an update each year. With Sheila's team, it's a little different. Typically, if somebody new comes on board, she'll just pass them on to me, or it's more of an ad needed basis. And then the other thing is if we see there's things going on in the market, like with COVID. When COVID hit, that was a big event. So we pushed out and talked to everyone, at least the business owners, said, hey, we're available. Let's have a meeting just to, you know, make sure we get in front of your employees and make sure they're comfortable with everything going on. And what I've noticed is we do those and I get I get people that use me as a financial advisor, and I encourage it. They have every participant has my email address and my phone number. And I have participants that will check in every 6 months and say, hey, can we have a quick conversation? Look at my portfolio, what's going on in the markets. And we have talks and then we have the tweaks things we do. And that kind of, you build a relationship with people over time. And from the last thing I'll say about this, from a business owner standpoint, you have to remember you are a fiduciary to this plan, but you have to be very careful about giving advice about individual investments to your participants. So having us as a consultant where you can say, hey, call Tom, call his team, shoot him a note, I think is very helpful to the business owners that are participating.
I'd like to turn back to Sheila. So we've mentioned a couple of times the investment committee and their role. One of the things that the Tech Council has tried to do with both the trust for the association health plan and the investment committee for the 401k is have participants, representatives of the companies that are participating in the 401k be on the committee. And Sheila is an example of that. Sheila, you know a bit now about what goes on in the investment committees. Did that make you feel even more comfortable as a participant in the program when you saw sort of the innards, if you will, of how this thing is managed over time?
Absolutely, it did. There's just so much about this that lets us operate like we were a much bigger company, even though we're a very small company with very few sort of HR resources. To the prior point, having Tom and his team help educate our employees is really helpful. For me, being on the investment committee gave me a ton of confidence that the money is being managed wisely because it's a very disciplined group. There's very structured conversations around when changes are made. It's a very responsible organization. So I feel really good that the money for my team is being invested wisely and that I have visibility into it.
And Tom, so there are a lot of investment opportunities in the portfolio that we offer to participants. Can you talk a little bit about the approach that you take with the investment committee when you find a particular security is not being managed as well as it should be, and how we deal with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have a set of rules that we follow. It's called an investment policy statement, and those are the guidelines that we're looking at. We look at funds. Everything in there is a mutual fund. So a mutual fund is a pool of investments for a specific purpose, like large cap U.S. stocks, small companies, international stocks, fixed income or bonds. So we look at those funds and we evaluate them against their peers, both how they're performing, fees, and keep all that in line. And make sure that we're following the guidelines. We, like I said before, we have passive investments, the index investments, and the actively managed investments. And the guidelines we have set up are kind of they're really more like guide rails, because we want to make sure that those investments all fall into line with those rules per se, and so we can keep an eye on them. But we don't want to just sit there and have a spreadsheet that says, okay, this one has underperformed for two quarters, so they're out, and we put a new one in. We have it set up so we can all have a discussion about what's going on in the current investment environment, what's going on with that fund, what's going on with the management of the fund, and make sure that it makes sense to change it or to keep it a little longer and keep our eye on it if there's an issue coming up. Because what we don't want to do is you see a lot with investments, whether it's a manager, a good manager, and most of the managers that we're using have been managing the funds for very long periods of time. So it's not like they've just been doing it for a couple of years. But things go in and out of favor, whether it's, right now in favor is large cap technology U.S. stocks. And if you own NVIDIA, you're very happy right now. But a year from now, it might not be large cap tech that's leading the way. And it could be utilities or small companies. And so you don't want to always buy the high flyer and sell the one that has been lagging, because it's going to change next year. So we make sure that we're taking that into putting things into the proper context before we make decisions.
Cool. One of the things that I know that I always have to look up and I wanted to talk about today is under the plan options, what you've been talking about is you offer both what we call 401k and then a Roth IRA, right? And what are the differences between those? What are the advantages and disadvantages, and why do we offer two?
So I'll correct you a little bit.
Good.
Because it's not a Roth IRA. So Roth IRAs are outside the 401k, but the Roth option is available inside of all the plans. And it's really being just about over 90% of all 401ks now, unless you have a really old one that's never been updated, have that Roth option. So just so everyone understands the difference between the two, traditional 401k or way to make investments inside of a 401k is you defer your taxes. So the traditional way is you take $100 out of your paycheck and your taxable salary is $100 lower. So you don't pay taxes on that $100 that went into your 401k. You also have the Roth option inside of the 401k where you can pay your taxes now on your investment. So even though that $100 is going into your 401k, you're still paying taxes on that full salary. So you pay your taxes on it now. Now the difference is it grows inside of your 401k and it's tax deferred for both of them. You don't pay any taxes when you buy or sell things on your investments in your 401k. But when you retire and you're in your 70s or 60s and you want to start taking money out, those traditional contributions have never been taxed. So whatever you start taking out on the traditional side, Uncle Sam needs their tax dollars. So that gets taxed just like you had a job, and it goes on to your tax return, and you pay income taxes on that. The Roth money, the Roth contributions you've already paid your taxes on. So all that growth grows tax-free, and then when it comes out, you aren't taxed on. So there's a big benefit for paying taxes now, especially if you're younger. Anyone listening to this that's under the age of 30, it's a no-brainer. I think even into your 50s, it still makes a lot of sense. It's a tax question, but it's that not paying taxes on that growth and when it comes out is a big benefit. And the other, to kind of conclude it, when you mentioned Roth IRA, the Roth IRAs have an income limit. So if you make too much money, you aren't eligible to contribute to a Roth. Inside of your 401k, you can, right now you can contribute $23,000 if you're under age 50 and an extra $7,500 if you're over age 50, and make those all Roth contributions and pay your taxes on it, and it grows tax-free and comes out tax-free. So it's not like you have to choose one or the other to offer it to your employees. And it's really standard to have both in there now, but they're both inside of the 401k.
Okay. So I do stand corrected. The 401k is the plan. There's pre-tax and post-tax contributions.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So we are the Arizona Technology Council.
Yes.
And, Tom, how is financial technology changing the way companies and employees manage their retirement savings? Is it having a big impact? And sort of as a side question, is AI involved at all?
I don't think AI is involved as much just yet. Will it be in the near future? I'm sure. I think AI is going to change the world that we live in, just like the internet changed the world 25 years ago, 30 years ago now. And but financial technology is certainly a thing. And I think that's starting to transform the way money is managed to a degree. The biggest thing that we see, and it's just in general, is whether it's AI or just technology in general, is helping people build portfolios, the asset allocation, how much stock should you have, how much bonds, how much international, all those things. That can really, it can be automated to a degree if people want to use that instead of, so for the people that don't want to build their own portfolios, you know, and the record keeper empowers our record keeper, they have options that help with that are technology led that help people build their own portfolio if they don't want to just go with the target date funds or the asset allocation funds that are really kind of set. So that side of it, technology is adding a lot and helping individual, you know, people that don't have access to an advisor do that and help them build a more personalized portfolio. The part of it that I think is missing from there that I think is the biggest value that my team brings is what we've talked about, is it's really the psychological side of it and the education that goes along with it. You can build a great portfolio and have the perfect asset allocation mix, and everything's great right now when the stock market's at all-time highs. But if a year from now or 18 months from now, the stock market's down 20 or 30%, those are the hard times, and AI isn't really going to be able to keep you in the market. And that's what you really need. You need somebody that you can, you know, pick up the phone and talk to and say, hey, is the world going to end? No, it feels like it right now, but you need to stay in it. People need to remember the stock market and investing is the only thing that people feel more comfortable when it gets more expensive. And when things go on sale, they want to sell it. When the stock market's down 20, 30%, that's when I get excited. But participants don't, because you know you're looking at your retirement savings and it's off. But if if that retirement date is still 20 years, 10 years in the future, you should be happy because you're buying things right now. You know, you're getting an extra, you know, extra two shares of NVIDIA for every dollar you're putting in there. You know, so those are the things where AI hasn't caught up yet, I think.
I should have asked you to bring some of the graphics that you used in the most recent education meeting with the Tech Council, because it clearly shows you that staying in the game over the course of time, you're going to do so much better than trying to pull out when things are down. And of course, when things are down, you should be buying, right? Because things are a lot cheaper. And then you've also shown us some graphics about how critical it is to start as early as possible. Early as possible. So, and what you mentioned something, a record keeper is Empower. Empower, I believe, is the second largest 401k manager in the United States. I think Fidelity is number one, okay. I believe. And maybe Sheila can opine about this too. As you indicated, Tech Council is in our own plan. I'm in our own plan, and I have found their technology extraordinary to use because I can manage my entire portfolio of everything involved with investments and financial situations and so on that platform. And so it will pull stuff in from your bank, it'll pull things in from, you know, other organizations that you have investments in, and it helps you sort of manage your program going forward. Sheila, have you found that to be beneficial as well?
Absolutely. It's a very easy to use platform. I know my team loves it. Everything about this enables us as a small company to leverage the tools that big companies have, and being with Empower is part of that.
Yeah, and you can manage your beneficiaries in real time, change them as appropriate. Every tool you can imagine is on that platform.
Yeah, we use Empower as well. I'm a big fan, and you know, being an engineering company, I've got the kind of people that are in there every day, right? That part of their morning ritual is to manage their plan. And then there's people like me that I think once a year I go and make sure it's not that's doing okay, right? And I rebalance, right? What I like about it compared to some of the earlier technologies that we used is it fits both those, right? You can be that low touch person, or you can be that engineer that's got 15 spreadsheets that are driving his daily activities, right? So big fan. And the app's good too. I sometimes use the app, so it's good stuff. And I've had people retire and they're pulling money out of there and it works. They're not stressed by it, so.
That was my dad, by the way. He looked at his investments every single day, and kept a diary. We found them after he passed away. It was pretty intriguing. Tom, for companies that may not yet offer a 401k or are considering switching to an MEP, what should they know before making that decision?
I think for companies that are thinking about it, and it's almost become a requirement. If you want to attract employees and get good talent, you've got to offer it. At a minimum, having a 401k is a requirement. Forget about whether it's going to be actually required if you have 10 or more employees. It's if you want to get people to come, they're expecting to have a 401k. So that's what we're seeing. A big change in over the past 10 years that it's, employees expect it. And I think the other side of it is to, the scary thing from a business owner standpoint is I don't understand anything about it. It's like learning a new language. I've only got 24 hours in the day and I can't spend another hour a day to do this. That's where the multiple employer plan makes a lot of sense, because you're partnering with the tech council where the tech council is the fiduciary overseeing the whole plan. And we're looking at the investments quarterly. We've got partners that help with the admin and the payroll. One of the other nice things about this plan is we partner with a company, AFS, where they get the alerts from Empower that somebody changed their investment or they're eligible. And then they're managing that through your payroll to make sure it's flowing through correctly. So once you've got that payroll set up and you have the 401k, the guidelines set into your payroll, they're handling that monthly upkeep of the payroll for the 401k side, or the monthly or the however often you're running your payroll. And then the administrative side of it, as far as getting notices out and those things, are also kind of automated as much as they can through Empower. And then the final piece of it is the education and the investments. We've got the investment committee that's meeting quarterly, so you're not going to end up with a fund that hasn't been researched for 3 years and all of a sudden is expensive and hasn't been performing, because we're going to get rid of that. And when somebody comes to you and says, what should I invest in? The correct answer is call Tom and I handle that conversation for him. So once you get it set up, as opposed to you get into it on your own, if you're thinking about it and you know you need to do it, you go and do it on your own and you think you have it set up and it's just going in the background and it's just something that can come back and bite you because you haven't had the time to look at it. This way, at least, it's up and running and there's people that are on top of things.
Tom, we talked about company matching, and that also brings in the question of safe harbor and whether plans are set up to opt in or opt out. Can you talk a little bit about the trends in all that area? What is the sort of normal or standard in terms of matches for companies? And can you sort of get into what safe harbor means?
Sure. So there's definitely now that 401k is kind of a requirement for getting an employee just to have it there, certainly including a match is pretty common and not quite the norm, I would say, but it's definitely a good benefit to give to people. Now, when you start to get into what is safe harbor, we're getting into the weeds a little bit, but safe harbor is when you are giving a match to your employees or giving some sort of money to your employees. So, and there's requirements, and it's basically 4% is kind of that safe harbor match, but it allows you to get through testing and you don't have to worry that from a business owner standpoint. And when I talk about testing, the 401k is, I mentioned it earlier, this is a benefit for your employees. All the funds in there are for the participants and for the employees, and you're a fiduciary to them. And the rules are set up so that usually when laws are enacted, everyone's treated equally, not in the 401k space. In the 401k space, the laws are set up so employees and participants have more rights than business owners in them. And the way things are set up is they don't, you know, we don't want to see an owner getting all their money in and nobody else is participating. So the safe harbor rules say if you want to be able to put in maximum dollars, you know, that $23,000 and an extra $7,500, you've got to give something to your employees, or they've got to do it on their own so you aren't putting too much in there. The nice thing about that is, and the trends along with that are, I think that the average matches is about 4%. If you're going to have a match, it's right around 4%, and that's because those are the safe harbor guidelines. It's 3.5 to 4%, depending on how it's set up, or you just give people 3% whether they participate or not. And the other trend, which 10 years ago, there was a lot of pushback on it, but certainly now we've got about 95% of the companies in the Arizona Tech Council plan that include the benefit or the feature of automatic enrollment. And it used to be people and owners would say, you know what, I don't want to force this on my employees. They can make their own decision. And nobody would necessarily, they would listen to the education and half of them would actually follow through and enroll and they wouldn't participate. Now the norm, and this is becoming a requirement with the new laws that are being enacted, but you've got to have auto enrollment in there to a degree. And what this means is people, if they don't do anything, they're going to automatically be saving for retirement. They obviously, they have the ability to opt out and say, I can't save this much. I need this money now for whatever reason they aren't required, but it's just like the donor, checking the donor box on your driver's license. If you put it as, you know, you have to opt out, 95% of the people are donors. If you make, you have to check the box, you know, 30% are donors. It's the same way. And that what we've noticed and what business owners are noticing now is, first off, the majority of people stay in the plan. They, even after they've been participating, they live within those means and they keep participating. And you're doing the right thing. They're saving for retirement. They're, you know, they're going to have a money there so that when they get down there to retirement, they've got enough money saved and they can, you know, retire when they want to. And from a business standpoint, that's better for you. You have happier employees, and certainly you don't end up with, like, when older employees are more expensive to employ, right? They have higher health insurance coverages, they make more money. And so just having a healthy company, you want your employees to be able to retire, you know, at an age where they should be retiring and not working because they have to, because they can't afford it. So I think that's the biggest trend.
I think the auto enrollment has been great. I don't get any pushback from employees about it. And for example, we offer a 6% match, which is a competitive advantage for us. So right. The fact that we have both of those options has been great.
Good. Yeah, and even at the Tech Council, which is a not-for-profit, we offer a 4% match to our employees, and that allows me to make a maximum investment because it meets the safe harbor requirements. And I like the automatic enrollment as well, and we invoked that for many, many years now, and it does have an impact. It keeps people in the plan who might not have otherwise opted in.
The other nice thing about the automatic enrollment is before they had that feature, the safe harbor, those rules where you had to give the money to the employees. If you don't have automatic enrollment, that money is theirs immediately. So it's 100% vested. once they receive it. So if they were to leave the company after 6 months, whatever money you've matched to them, they would keep under those safe harbor rules. With the automatic enrollment feature, you can now have a 2-year vesting period on those funds. So it just means people, they'll have another incentive to stick around longer to keep those funds, right? So it's just another benefit.
Tom, we're getting toward the end here. I want to make sure that we get to ask you about, first of all, you just mentioned that, the laws are changing. First of all, can you enlighten us about what those changes are manifesting in the 401k world? And then how do you see, with your crystal ball, retirement planning and investing evolving? And again, will technology play a role in that?
Yeah. Good question with a couple minutes left. There's a lot there. As far as the laws, the big law is Secure Act 2.0 that came out 2 years ago, 2022. And I think there's about 90 provisions in there, and they're still sorting it all out. A lot of those changes are allowing easier access for participants to kind of get hardship funds or loans if case of disasters and pregnancies and things like that. Also the ability to be able to get matches as Roth matches. Right now, when a company gives money to their participants, it's always pre-tax, and they're trying to open it up that maybe companies want to get the option of paying the taxes on that now. So there's a lot of those changes going on. I don't think there are many people that can, go through them all and understand all of them, and they haven't all been enacted. But it's just another reason that if you're looking at starting a plan for your company, you probably need to talk to a consultant and advisor just to put this stuff in English. It's all a second language. As far as the trends where we're going, I do think technology is gonna play a bigger role. And I think it will be in conjunction with, the personal advice, like I was talking about, being able to have those tools on the websites where you can build a more customized asset allocation without having really that knowledge is going to be more prevalent, leading to kind of more managed accounts, whether, it's just with the tools that are on the website. But, being able to, there was a survey that came out that, over 50% of participants, they value the advice of an advisor as the biggest thing they look for or in kind of a plan, is having somebody that you can talk to about your finances. But not a lot of it, it's less than 30% of the people actually go through and follow through and seek out that advice. And that's why one of the most important roles of my team is making sure that participants know whether you have an advisor, that you trust outside of this plan, which is great, and you should utilize them. Especially for younger people, that are just starting their careers and they don't have that advisor. You're participating in a 401k where you have my contact information, my team's contact information, and we're available to have those conversations with you to make sure that you're saving the right amount and you're staying in the market. I'd rather people focused on how much they're saving and staying and maximizing that out, as opposed to trying to pick the hot investment that's going to be, outperform over the next year.
Thank you, Tom. Eric, you want to take us home?
Yeah, I really appreciate it today. So I want to thank all of our speakers and for their expertise and time today. Today's AZ TechCast was brought to you by PADT. And PADT is the leading provider of mechanical engineering products and services in the Southwest. Based in Tempe, Arizona, we are a collection of around 90 engineers, technicians, sales professionals, and administrators who for 30 years now work with companies who design and manufacture physical products. We sell and support world-leading products like Ansys for simulation and Stratasys for 3D printing, along with offering expert consulting for your product design and development or meet your advanced simulation needs. We also offer 3D printing and other advanced manufacturing technologies as a service. To learn more, please visit our website at www.padtinc.com. And to learn more, you can also reach out to me on LinkedIn. We can't wait to have our engineers talk with you to see how we can help, because at PADT, we make innovation work. So if you're interested in being on this podcast or participate as a sponsor of the Tech Council's AZ TechCast, contact marketing at aztechcouncil.org. And to learn more about opportunities to further position you as a tech expert, influencer, and innovator. So until next time, I'm Eric Miller, and thank you all for joining us for the AZ TechCast.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the AZ TechCast with the Arizona Technology Council, featuring leading tech and business experts who help influence and shape our great state and the industries they serve.